When a victim is created as a result of actions against them, that makes them certainly worthy of healing, care, and recovery as in fair and as generous of ways as possible. That's certainly something true when it comes to the victims of the September 11th terrorist attacks. It's also something those victims have had to fight for literally from step one. There's something for fighting for recognition, fighting for truth, fighting for health programs, fighting for the funding for those programs to be maintained. Now there's a new fight, as one of these healthcare funds is now being overseen by an organization which, well, some say makes the VA look like a Mother Teresa humanitarian operation. With us now to discuss this new fight, how it's impacting 9/11 victims, is attorney and partner in the law firm Barish & McGarry, which represents many September 11th victims. Michael Barish, how are you today, sir?
Good, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Got a website here. If this is something that will hopefully supply answers for you or provide service to you through Michael's work, and have it on the website page as well, or homepage, post-911. The number is post-911attorneys.com. After you hear Michael speak and relay what's been going on with this, well, change, they always say, is good, but not necessarily in this case. Michael, give us some background, because this basically involves not the funding program that probably most people are aware of, the James the Dragon 9/11 Health and Compensation Act, but it's basically an affiliate program of that operation, which is now being overseen by, as I said in the introduction, an administrator who has a lot of critics out there.
Well, first of all, I loved your line about Mother Teresa. That's actually pretty funny. I'd be laughing if the whole thing wasn't so sad.
Yeah.
So a little background. So Jimmy Zadroga was my client. He was an NYPD officer who died at age 34 of pulmonary fibrosis. When he died in 2006, they did an autopsy, and in his lung tissue, they found ground glass, asbestos, chromium, lead, benzene. These are all known carcinogens. Anyway, a few years later, we lobbied to have the Victim Compensation Fund and a health program open to take care of these people, because the people were continuing to get sick. Originally, you may recall, Congress passed this bill just 2 weeks after 9/11, and it was the Air Stabilization Act. They didn't want people to sue the airlines. They were afraid the airlines would go bankrupt. So they created the Victim Compensation Fund, but that fund ended at the end of 2003, yet people like Jimmy Zadroga kept getting sick and dying. So after a long struggle and many bus rides down to Washington, Congress did the right thing. And I don't have to remind you, Chris, you remember when Christine Todd Whitman said the air was safe to breathe?
Oh, I remember that painfully well.
That was 5 days after 9/11.
Yeah.
And she wasn't a scientist or a doctor. Someone told her to say that because they wanted desperately to reopen Wall Street. So Congress really screwed up then, and as a result, hundreds of thousands of people, including myself, we returned to our offices because they assured us it was safe to breathe. Well, it wasn't. We were exposed to the same toxins that Jimmy Zadroga and the other 100,000 responders were exposed to in the pit. Not surprisingly, we were coming down with the same illnesses. We were dying from the same illnesses. But now give Congress credit. In 2010, they passed the James Zadroga Health and Compensation Act. And that created two separate programs, the World Trade Center Health Program and the Victim Compensation Fund. And both were only created for 5 years. They actually magically thought all the illnesses would stop then. Well, it was great that they did the right thing and reopened these programs, but people kept getting sick. And in fact, in 2012 and 13, they added 68 cancers to the list of illnesses. It wasn't just respiratory illnesses. It was cancers, many of them, almost everyone you can think of. So people kept getting sick and dying. And then Congress did the right thing again. They extended the programs again for 5 years. And finally, in 2019, thanks to John Stewart and the unions, they extended these programs forever until 2090.
But
that would have been great, but they didn't fund the health program.
Yeah, I was going to say, therein lies the problem, because if you go back to 2015, under the World Trade Center healthcare program, there were around 76,000 people who were receiving benefits from it. Now there's close to 120,000. So with this switch over to a new administrator, is this a way to keep the program afloat by being more stingy with how it's helping victims, by being more restrictive in what's being approved and which doctors you can go to, and as many hurdles as you could possibly get to place as less of a wear and tear on the program to prolong it without having to do additional funding?
First of all, I love it when a reporter does his homework, so thank you for that. You may be right, Chris. Of course, no one's going to admit, oh, they switched over. I submit that they switched over because the national program, and it's important to remember to your listeners, this World Trade Center health program is available in all 50 states and Puerto Rico. The problem is that the program was being administered by a company that universally was criticized. It was called Logistic Health Network, and they were really, so many people were so frustrated about getting appointments, about the treatment that they were getting, about getting phone calls returned. Well, guess what? So they switched to this company called Sedgwick, and it's been a disaster. And I know they keep telling us, be patient. It's growing pains. No. It's not growing pains. It's incompetence. These guys, so many doctors had been signed up with LHI, Logistic Health Network, and you would think that they would automatically be transferred to Sedgwick. Well, no. So many doctors can't get authorized by Sedgwick, which means that thousands of patients that rely on this, these annual exams and this ongoing treatment, they're unable to get appointments. God forbid a phone call get returned. But there's a $3 billion shortfall right now. And you know, listen, if you were working for a company and you knew they were going out of business in a year or two, you'd start looking for another business, another company, wouldn't you?
Well, certainly.
And that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying with their doctors and nurses, the people who know these illnesses better than anyone else. It's so frustrating, Chris.
Without a doubt, we're talking with Attorney Michael Barish, who is a founding partner of the law firm Barish McGarry. Post-911, the number is post911attorneys.com. More information about the legal services they provide, the fight that they're leading in this issue, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And it's not like this is a new proposal, a new requirement, a new effort by Sedgwick. This is what they do, or at least they're supposed to do, administer financial programs for health care. I know they do work with products and companies for product safety and things along those lines. But it just seems like I know quite a few people work at Walmart. That's another mm-hmm. company that Sedgwick also oversees. There was one person, and they posted it online too. They received a notice from Sedgwick approving their maternity leave. They sent it to a guy. That's how ineffective Sedgwick is. They just decline, delay, lose emails, don't make calls back. They just make everything as difficult as possible to make, maybe, like I said, to maybe just lighten the load on a program that's, at best right now, estimates say, is going to be funded solvent until maybe the year 2025 unless something's done.
That's right. Now, fortunately, the Victim Compensation Fund has plenty of money to pay awards until 2090. The problem, and this is a catch-22, in order for someone to get compensated by the Victim Compensation Fund, you need to first be certified with a 9/11 illness by the World Trade Center Health Program. Well, if you can't get an appointment with Sedgwick to get your illness certified, let alone treated for that illness, because they're supposed to pick up all the copays, all the deductibles that your private insurance doesn't pay, well, you can't get a Victim Compensation Fund award. So we're seeing a delay in that as well. You know, Congress, they made a promise to the 9/11 community. And again, it's important for your listeners to realize these programs aren't just for firefighters and cops in New York City. They are for the 300,000 office workers, for the 50,000 students and teachers, and the 25,000 downtown residents who were below Canal Street on 9/11 or during any of the 8 months that followed. So they made us a promise. We will take care of you. We'll take care of all your medical bills. And if you don't have insurance, we'll pay for everything. Otherwise, we'll pay all your co-pays and deductibles for life. Well, they're not living up to that promise now, Chris. And that's what's so heartbreaking and so frustrating for someone like me who made 25 trips to Washington to convince Congress to do the right thing. And again, I got to give John Stewart and the unions the most credit. John Feel of the Feel Good Foundation, they are the real true heroes here. I just, you know, helped pay for some busloads of firefighters and cops to walk the halls of Congress with me. But we got these bills passed, but the funding's not there. And in fact, one of the big reasons is that there's been an explosion of cancers in the 9/11 community. So if I can nag your listeners, go, if you were working or living or a responder, make sure you go for an annual skin checkup, a full body skin checkup, because basal cell, squamous cell, and melanoma cancers are the most common cancers in the 9/11 community. For after that, it's prostate cancer for men, it's breast cancer for women. So many men and women miss their annual appointments for colonoscopies, skin checkups, prostate exams, mammograms during COVID. And, you know, doctors are really concerned about that.
The World Trade Center Health Program is overseen on a federal level by the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. What are they saying about this?
Well, they're saying, please be patient. This is what Dr. Howard, who's running the World Trade Center Health Program, is saying. There are going to be some hiccups as we make the transition from LHI to Sedgwick. In addition, by the way, they decided that it was also a good idea to switch the pharmaceutical company that handles all these medications that are given to thousands and thousands of 9/11 people in the community. So that's been, it's now with a company called Express Scripts, and people are having problems with that as well. So I know I'm preaching to the choir here, and your listeners, I'm sure, are very sympathetic. I just ask, you know, call up the health program if you're having troubles. And, you know, let them know this isn't right. And I know you gave my website, but, you know, for people who don't use a laptop or don't use a desktop, they can just use their cell phone and go to 911victims.com. That's 911victims with an S.com.
Because I've seen stories online, people posting on the Better Business Bureau page for regarding Sedgwick and elsewhere. They have had to resort to court orders just to get what should be obvious basic medical permissions and authorizations. So I'm sure that's something you've had to come across and have to deal with too.
Yeah, and you know, I can also tell you one other frustrating thing that I'm dealing with is the unions have done a great job educating their members about the availability of health care, and it's much better if you're a cop or a New York City firefighter, for sure. And over 80% of the New York City responders are already in the program, notwithstanding whatever difficulties they are having. But less than 10% of the civilians have enrolled so far. And that's 10% of 400,000 people. I mean, you gave the numbers. It's now well over 125,000 people who have enrolled in this health program.
Right.
But think about all the hundreds of thousands of people who still haven't enrolled because they don't know about the program, or if they do know about it, they think it's just for firefighters and cops, or even worse, they don't want to be frustrated and deal with this Sedgwick problem, so they're just going to their own insurance companies. And if they're in a union, they shouldn't have the union plan paying any of the bills. The federal government should be paying the bills.
If you're going through the torture that is being caused by the knuckle draggers, the foot draggers, dragging everything, and it's really just affecting you and impacting you in every negative way possible, where you no way, how, shape, or form deserve it, then speak up, speak out, fight back. Don't just say, well, why bother? It's just going to be a headache. I shouldn't be doing this. Yes, you should. You should stand up. You should stand up against this and put the onus on this fund and this administrator, Sedgwick, to do what is just and what is right. If you want to have legal advice, legal guidance, legal assistance, post 911attorneys.com. You are doing the honorable thing for a lot of people, and I hope more people are aware of it and join the fight to just make the obvious right, which is scary to have to say, but this is what we have to deal with right now.
It's a privilege to represent the 9/11 community, and I appreciate you shining a light on all of this. I really do, Chris.